Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process that I call Dioprax Anathema, or in opposition to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And that's paradigms or ways of thinking. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And those ways of thinking we find in Scripture, those paradigms. God's Scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, gives us a biblical, a patriarchal paradigm, a thus saith the Lord paradigm. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His word. Trust in His commands. Put your life in His hands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart, see, is your passion. It's associated with your soul. It's not your soul. But where your treasure is, there is where your heart is. It's where you're setting your mind. It's your preoccupation in life. It's your focus in life. It's your desires in life. And so the desires of our heart shall be to the Lord. And so that's where our trust is. And lean not to your own understanding. Now that's the dialectical paradigm. That's Genesis 3:1-6, where Satan seduces Eve into looking into the environment. Because your understanding ties you to the creation. Your understanding, leaning upon it, ties you to the world. All that's in the world, which is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which puts you in opposition. You are the enemy of God. You cannot love the world and love God. You serve one master or you serve the other. And so when Satan approached Eve with the neurolinguistic sentence structure, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden, that's an embedded statement in a question. And the purpose for that sentence structure is to tie you to the creation, to get you to focus upon the creation, because there's something in the world that affects you and it affects me. Every program, I try to cover this for those who haven't heard this before, and I know it's repetitive, but it's our nature. We're drawn away by the lust of the flesh and then enticed. We couldn't be enticed. See, Satan wouldn't have had an effect upon the woman or Adam without this part of us that God created. It's not that God is against it. It's that we have to keep it under control. It's called self-control. Humble yourself, deny yourself, see, discipline yourself. And this self-nature within us ties us to the creation. And so when anything in the environment that's pleasurable, you don't know it's pleasurable. You wouldn't know pleasure unless God had, for some reason, and He did, put a nervous system within us that can produce pleasure. Now, it doesn't produce pleasure per se. It is affected by the environment. It directly ties to the environment. There's something in the environment that triggers a nervous system within us that's associated with pleasure. And then our mind, because we come aware of this pleasure, we look around into the environment, into the creation, for what did it? Because our bodies naturally are created to approach pleasure and avoid pain. And I use this analogy over and over, but it's the simplest one. The child, you give them a toy, and you tell them then to put the toy aside and to keep playing with the toy. They're not in love with the toy. They're in love with the pleasure the toy produces within them. So the environment produces pleasure, and therefore we're drawn into the environment, looking into the environment for whatever it was that produced the pleasure. And then we want to associate or relate with what's in the environment that produces the pleasure. And, of course, people then will take drugs, and dopamine's tied to all the habitual drugs, and they become addicted to the pursuit of pleasure, the love of this world, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so when Satan throws his sentence structure at Eve, he is bringing to the forefront this dopamine, this sensuousness, this sensuous need that is a part of our life but is not the foundation of our life. See, God said, Jesus said in the temptations, man doesn't live by bread alone. Well, bread is a necessary need in our life. But he said, but every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. It's more important to be in agreement with God than to be in agreement with anything in the creation. To set your mind on things above rather than on the earth. The Greek word for witness, see, God wants you to be a witness, is martyrius. You must make a choice. See, whether you're going to pursue the things of this world or you're going to pursue and serve the Lord and lose the things of this world, the temporal, they're temporary, they're not eternal. He's eternal. And so when Satan threw this sentence structure, a lot of stuff was happening. And her response, the woman's response, was not the command of God, was not to preach and teach the word of God, which Jesus did in the temptations. This is really simple, folks. This is so simple we miss it because it is so not a part of our nature. What Jesus did in the temptations, it is written, it is written, it is written, is not of the flesh. It's not of our human, our carnal, our temporal, our earthy nature. Only if Dad would say, I want you to go down to the store and get all the candy you want and do it any means you possible, and so the child goes down and steals some candy, the child would be in agreement, see, with the father. But no, a godly man would say, you can go down to the store, but today you can't buy anything. You can go look because someday tomorrow. Well, if the child takes something, he's guilty. But as the child goes into the store and sees the candy, the environment stimulates dopamine, and then the child looks into the environment. What created this pleasure? And then the desire of the heart is to the things of the world. They're setting their mind on things on the earth. But then they just don't go get it because they realize there's a command from above them that restrains them, that requires that they get themselves under control. And so our opinions, our oughtas and shouldas and mightas and couldas and how do you feel and what do you think, those all tie us to the creation. You can't go, I feel and I think, and be preaching the word of God. You can't go, I feel and I think, and presenting truth. 2 + 2 = 4 is truth, but you say, I think, you put that in front of it, or I feel in front of a fact, a truth, you relativize it, you bring it down to the creation, you make it now bound to the temporary. I think 2 + 2 = 4. I think God meant this. And that's your opinion. So when Satan seduces Eve into the dialogue, at every minister who's tied into this process, this emergent church, church growth, Peter Drucker, who was the foundation for the church growth, Rick Warren, and I'm not going after these guys. I mean, Peter Drucker's definitely met God now, and Rick Warren will too. And if he calls himself a man of God, he had better tremble because he's using Satan's pattern. What Satan did with Eve in the garden is the very pattern of church growth, emergent church, all these mega churches. They're using dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? Which is not of God. God does not speak that way. His sheep will not hear that voice. His sheep know his voice. His sheep speak like when Peter spoke to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no confusion. There's no uncertainty. There's absolute. It's set. It's established. And men's opinions have nothing to do with it. It is what God says. And we're now obedient to him. See, we take every captive, every thought to the obedience, to the obedience, to the obedience, to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ. What my Father commands, that's what I do, the obedience of Christ. But that's when you go, I feel and I think, you're not tied to the obedience of Christ. You're tied to your feelings and your thoughts. You're tied to this world. You're tied to the creation. You're tied to the love and the pleasures that this world produces. And so all of the church today is tied to this same pattern. Get them in a room, ask them how they feel and what do they think. That's the sentence structure of Satan threw at Eve, and she responds with her opinion. Because if she responded with the word of God, she would never have fallen into sin. And so her response was, for God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor touch it, lest ye die. Nor touch it was her ought to be. Every time she's going by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she wants to touch it, but she doesn't. But there's this desire. She's being drawn away by the flesh to the environment naturally produced. Now she has to make choice. Obey God or follow after your lust. By the way, it's not lust until God has said, you can't do it. And if you do it, then it's lust. other words, you've chosen the creation over the creator. And therein we know whether you love God or you love the creation. And in this case, she says, nor touch it, lest ye die. There's God's command, you will die. And then Satan says, oh, you won't die. Now, that's actually not a command, it's a condition. And she finds out by looking at the tree that God's not telling the truth. Now, listen to me. By looking at the tree, physiologically, materialistically, situationally, I get you in a room, get you to share how you feel and what you think, you are going to be tied to the creation. You're going to lean to your own understanding, and your understanding ties you to the world, to the creation. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get joy unspeakable, peace that transcends understanding. That, none of that can come from your understanding. See, my people are destroyed for lack of understanding? No, for lack of knowing. How do you know? God told you. Remember when God confronted Adam in the garden? He said, when Adam said we were naked, God's response was patriarchal, was traditional. Who told you? That's how God communicates with you. That's how he knows who are his. Because he says, who told you? Well, you did that. See, and only you. I only listen to you. Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. I only listen to him. And then he said, those who are mine. See, those who do my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. I hang around with those people, and those people hang around with me because they're not the I feel and I think people down there doing the group hug, doing the orgiastic Dionysian worshiping of the creation, even in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They're liars, deceivers. Not built on God's paradigm, not God set on the way God thinks. My ways are not your ways. Now, when she then looks into the environment, sensuous need is already produced, desire to relate with the creation, her ought to be is in there. God says, no, you cannot, or you'll die. And then Satan says, you won't die. And she looks at the tree, and she knows physiologically, materialistically, psychologically, sociologically, all the ologies you want to throw in there, she looks at the tree, and she's absolutely right. Satan is right. She will not die. The tree didn't kill him. It was physiologically pure and right and good and pleasurable, good to look at, good for food. And by the way, desires to make one wise, because God said, this is a tree of knowledge, good and evil. None of the other trees, he said that about it. And so they would be like him. They could evaluate, and that's what she's doing. She's like God. She's evaluating right and wrong and good and evil. But she can only do it from her flesh. She can only do it from her dopamine. She can only do it from that which is from the world that triggers the pleasure. And she's looking back into the creation to now determine what's right and wrong. She's a philosopher. She's a psychiatrist. She's a counselor. See, she's a one who can help herself and others discover their full potential. Find their identity within the world. And there create their success. And discover their full potential. Same pattern. It doesn't matter if you study Hegel, Nietzsche, Freud, Marx, the contemporary philosophies, the church growth, emergent church, liberation theology. You can study any philosophy, any thought on the face of the earth. Leaning to your own understanding is the foundation of the dialectic. It is the pattern of the dialectic. Being reasonable and sensible. You ever heard that? Well, can't you be reasonable? Reasonable. Who is your foundation for what is reasonable? Is it that which is of the earth, or is that which is from God? Is it reasonable to be willing to stand for truth despite what any man or anything in the creation will do to you? With God it is. That's why Jesus went to the cross. See, he despised the shame, because shaming is a people thing. Shaming is a people are looking at him and saying, you know what? You're unreasonable. You're irrational. You're not asking us to be sensible. See, sensuous, sensible. You're interfering with the peace that the world wants. The harmony, the social relationship, the community. Because you come in with a right and wrong and black and white and sheep and goats and heaven and hell, and you have to have it your way, you judgmental, prejudiced person, you. Serving a prejudice and setting his way, old-fashioned, thou shalt not God. Now we have a new God. He says, let's get in the group hug and go, how do you feel, what do you think? And by the way, you address this, all of a sudden you're labeled as hateful. See, now how Satan does it? Well, God, he really doesn't hate you. He just knows that, you know, you won't die. And she looks at the tree and, oh, I won't die. And she's right, because the tree physiologically didn't kill Adam and Eve. God removed them from the tree of life because they changed their paradigm. They didn't go down to the youth group. They didn't go into the team building. They didn't go into the group hug. They didn't go into total quality management and total quality leadership and the DARE and the COPS program, HMOs, school to work, you know, ISOs, whatever acronym you want to throw on it. If they were in there, Paul says avoid it. But if you can't avoid it, what they did was proclaim the truth, and they became a witness for the truth. They became martyred. They were called negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, maladjusted, low order thinker, an aggressor, a blocker, a dominator, special interest pleader, all kinds of terms to convince them that they weren't in touch with themselves. They were in denial, and they were refusing to know the truth, and the truth that we are all one, and we can be a cosmic group social entity, all for the sake of world peace. And so they're the enemy. They're the terrorists. They're the extremists. They're the ones who don't know how to get along, hadn't read how to win friends and influence people, something that even the Apostle Paul evidently didn't comprehend, because you wouldn't get stoned. You wouldn't have to flee for your life. You wouldn't be dragged out of a city as dead if you knew how to win friends and influence people and find common ground and talk about positive and no longer talk about negative. And look for synergy and find consensus and do, you know, the group hug thing. And it's all built on how do you feel and what do you think. And you think that's harmless stuff? No, that's your flesh speaking. That's a flesh of man. That's the creation pulling you in to worship it. And that's the language of the seducer, the enticer. Even though he might call himself, quote unquote, a minister of God, he is not, because a minister of God will preach and teach the word of God, not changed by men's opinions. Not saying, well, we got to make a contemporary church. You know what temporary means? It's not of God. If it's temporary, it's not of God. And so you go down to the church and have a contemporary worship service. You have a worship service that is not of God. Well, we have scripture in there. It's not of God. Well, we think praises to the Lord. It's not of God. It is not God's paradigm. You're worshiping your voice. You're worshiping the instruments. You're worshiping the musicians. You're worshiping the experience. You're worshiping your time here in that here and now moment. And your heart is not upon the Lord. Your heart is upon the great things, the wonderful things. Oh, God, look at my praise I'm giving you. You are carnal. You were lost in your sin. If you don't repent and turn to him and die to yourself daily, dying to yourself. That's not dying to yourself. Can't wait to go down there and worship your dopamine, your pleasure, your group hug. You go in there with the truth. Oh, man. You talk an emotional experience, man. They're going to get so upset with you. You know, they got to have that orgiastic Dionysian moment in the name of Jesus. Well, we're talking about psychology right now and sociology, social psychology. It was the Marxists who came here cleverly, trickery. They knew how they could bring a process in, just the same pattern as Satan did, to get us to talk about the things of God on their pattern, on the worldly pattern, on the dialectical pattern, to practice the dialectical thinking. Not God's way of thinking, but man's way of thinking. And as I covered in the last program, Irvin Yalom, and we'll just pick up from where I left off. If you want to know about the dialectic, you can get on my website, authorityresearch.com, authorityresearch.com. And I have lots of articles. The latest one I did was on civil disobedience. Surely going to get in a lot of trouble on that. But that's okay, you know, in the face of it. I'm just writing these articles to encourage you. If you're doing what's right before God, keep doing it. Endure. Endure is not dopamine. Enduring is trust in the Lord with all your heart, no matter what. Lean into your understanding. Not letting the creation, not letting the group, the village, the community, or any man stand between you and God, even if it costs you your life. You're going to be a witness. The blood of the Lamb. See, that's how you overcome the enemy, the blood of the Lamb. It's a work that he has done. The word of your testimony. What is the word of your testimony? In all your ways, you acknowledge him. You're not going, well, I feel and I think, and finding common ground so you can witness to people. No, you will never die that way. See, you haven't died to yourself. You kept the flesh going in the conversation. You say, it is written, it is written, it is written. Now, all of a sudden, you're speaking to the soul of that person, and they have a choice. They either get rid of you or repent. See, they might get rid of you just by leaving, or they might physically get rid of you. Now, you're a witness. Now, you're a martyrius. You love not your life to the end, to the death. See how that works? That's a pattern from Genesis to Revelation. That is God's pattern. Why are you worshiping the creation? Why are you hanging on to this world? Does that mean you just, you know, go out and stand in front of some vehicle? No. It simply means when you proclaim the truth in the world of lies, a light in the darkness, and you do it in love. You let the Lord direct, because if you're doing it, it's still in the flesh. You're doing it dialectically, because you're going to get something out of it. Somebody's going to say, oh, wow, that was a wonderful sermon. I'm sure glad you came along and stepped on my toes. Well, you missed. You should have got to their heart. It's the Lord, by the way, who speaks through you to go to the heart. Now, they have a wicked heart. They might turn on you and rend you. That's why you need to trust in the Lord, because he knows when to share and where to share it, the truth. Now, all of counseling today is the very same pattern of Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And it's all about feelings and relationship and trusting in man. I'll pick up, and sometimes I repeat myself, but that's okay. This stuff's sort of complex. Irvin Yalom, his book, Theory and Practice in Group Psychotherapy. Get a hold of the audio set, and you can listen to the prior setup on this presentation. But let me just continue on where I left off last time. Irvin Yalom, in his book, he says, it is important that the therapist attempt to screen out patients. See, it's important if I'm a youth minister, if I'm a minister, if I'm a total quality management or total quality leadership or DARE or COPS or HMOs or school to work or, you know, group hug environment, wherever it is, that I screen out patients who or people who will become marked deviants. See, sounds good. Well, we're going to make sure we don't have the deviant there, the marked deviants. Now, that's important. Every word's important. Who's the marked deviant? Then he explains, deviants, because of their interpersonal behavior in the group sessions and not because of a deviant lifestyle or past history. What does that mean? Oh, do you get it? He can be dialectical. He can be a homosexual, a pedophile. He can practice bestiality. He can practice abomination. And that's not deviancy in this dialectical process. The deviant person is a person who comes in and says, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, it is written, thus saith the Lord. That's the deviant person, because they're out of touch with their own self. They're in a state of neurosis, which means they're holding to a voice higher than human nature. They're preventing themselves from natural inquiry into the environment, discover their full potential, and they come in the room and they insist everybody else do the same thing. They're deviants. They're deviant means moving you away from the pattern, from the arrow, from the straight and narrow path. But this isn't a straight and narrow path. It's a broad path. But the deviant comes in and says, no, it's not a broad path. It's a narrow and straight. How narrow is it? How straight is it? It's God's standard. Oh, man, you're deviant. You're hateful. Then he says, there is no type of past behavior too deviant for a group to accept. Even the church. The church has accepted homosexuality. You'll say, oh, not our church. Let me tell you something. If you're using the consensus process with a facilitator and you're dialoguing, how you feel, what do you think, you are using the very structure for homosexuality. Now, you tell me, if you stand on that foundation, that you're not going that direction. You already have embraced the pattern, the system, the paradigm. You're a liar. You've deceived yourself, and everybody who comes and trusts in you, you deceive them as well. So, okay, the group can accept any deviant out there once the therapy group norms are established. Once you establish the language of I feel and I think, you can bring the world in. That's all Satan did. He got Eve into I feel nor touch it and then think. She looked at the tree. She's going by sight. And anything in the world is now open to the soul of man. He is now set free from God's commands. You see how simple that is? You're just sitting duck without the Lord, without trusting in him. You got all these churches out there, just like Satan, enticing you to join in the group hug, and they'll quote all the scriptures. Oh, they cover all the bases. It's not the word that's a problem. It's their heart that's a problem. It's a pattern. It's a system. Because you preach and teach truth. You don't dialogue truth. You dialogue opinions. This is simple. And yet it's so hard. Because when you're told you can't do something, the first thing you try to do is get somebody who ever told you you couldn't do it into dialogue. And so the parent then says, okay, you can go out and you say, and you know, have fun and do what you want to do. And the child turns around and says, no, 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 wait a minute. You just changed your paradigm. I'm used to hearing cannot, must not, thou shalt not. What's going on here? I don't like this. See, only the believer would say that. Only the one who's practicing the didactic patriarchal paradigm would understand that, wait a minute, this is not the voice of God. And there are those who are in the church, the apostate heresiarchal church, with their synergistic group hug synthesis process. And they're saying, this is not of God. And they go to the leadership with the word of God. And all of a sudden they realize, it didn't take them very long to realize, you know what? The leadership is not in love with the word of God. And they're not interested in what God says. They're not interested in because it says so. They're interested in their participation in the process of dialogue. We like you here. I just don't understand why you just have to be so divisive. And by the way, don't go out into the congregation and preach and teach, because they'll all turn on you. Because you're not speaking Satan's language. You're not speaking the dialectical language in the name of Jesus. See, it's Antichrist doesn't mean opposed Christ. It's a Satan's pattern of Christ. That's what the Antichrist is. He'll use Satan's pattern to promote the kingdom of God. And if you're not discerning, you're going in. That's why Paul says avoid it. Many will lose their faith. Well, who doesn't? Those who get caught up and they say, well, this is, they don't change their paradigm. They say it is written. They hold to their thesis. They hold to the position that God has given them. And before long, they're extruded from the group. And that's what he says. Now, but he's saying, okay, the group can accept anybody. See, the church says, oh, come on in. We'll accept you as you are. But you know what? They're not preaching the law of God. The law, see, is perfect, converting the soul. It brings you under conviction. It condemns you. Now, I can't condemn you. There's no one on the face of the earth to condemn you. Only God condemns you. And if I don't present the law of God, thus saith the Lord, it is written. See, you will not come under conviction. You'll simply say, I'm sorry, and feelings are involved in your thought and reasoning and all that, leaning to your own understanding. That's the foundation. It's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you, because the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. And people say, well, it's out of touch with the time. Oh, it's a lie from the devil. Got to make the word of God tone temporary, put the flesh in there. And like I say over and over, you know, you got to have a little flesh to make Jesus go down better. That's what they're saying. You got to keep the flesh in there. Boy, if you don't keep the flesh in there, they're going to leave. They'll never hear the word of God. Well, you're speaking to the flesh when you go, I feel and I think. You get this? You're speaking to the flesh when you say, I feel and I think. You're not going to the soul, because the law of God goes to the soul. And then because you understand that you're guilty before God, and then you hear the gospel that Jesus came to pay for your sins, because you're wicked and you'll always be wicked. It doesn't matter how holy you are. You're wicked. It's he. He is your righteousness. Righteousness is imputed. That means you can't do a thing about it except believe upon him. He covers your sin. But you don't know you're in sin without the law. And so now when you hear the law, you love it. Because every time you hear it, you hear God's grace and his mercy towards you, a forgiving, loving father. But that's not in the church today. Now we have the group hug, orgiastic, Dionysian moment, and you see the immorality that's coming out the so-called church of God. Well, we'll continue. Now, I hate to be so in your face on this, but it's important you understand. There's earnestness to this apostasy. Wake up! Don't be deceived. It's like coming to a drunk person who's driving to their death and taking others with them, and you're shaking them. Wake up! Wake up! But they're not waking up, folks. We'll continue on the other side of these messages.